No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. Captain Ed's going to join us a little later here for our virtual cruise through the latest aviation news and information. However, I'm flying solo. Or with ground support from Captain Dennis in Minnesota. And if that weren't enough, I got the big guns on hand. Tom Haynes from AOPA. Tom, we'll start with you. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing, bud? How's your week going? Better than last week, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I hightailed it out of here. I went out to the left coast, hung out for a week. I didn't want to take any chances of not having AC for a week when we lost power for a few days. Luckily, I did get power back right before I left, so I didn't leave my family in a lurch, and they didn't change the locks when I came back. So I'm good. Everything's fine here at Just Plane Radio headquarters, and we're fine in Orlando, Florida. But yeah, you know, that hurricane thing created a bit of a, you know, bit of an issue, not just for folks like me, but for everybody, and GA to the rescue. Am I right?
It was. It was. It was amazing what General Aviation has done. Following Hurricane both Harvey and Irma, and I personally got involved last week when I came down your way, flew my Bonanza down, along with several others from AOPA who brought their airplanes and a couple of the AOPA airplanes, and we had this armada coming out of Maryland down to Florida, as well as a bunch of other pilots from all across the South came down, and we flew a bunch of missions out of Lakeland and Ocala down to Homestead and deep into the Keys.
Wow.
Ahead of many of the federal agencies hadn't even set up food supplies, water supplies down in the Keys by the time we started using the small privately owned airports, because the military had closed down the two public airports in the Keys, Marathon and Key West International, wouldn't let any civilians in.
Yeah.
And so we said, well, guess what? We got privately owned airports down there, two of them. They're pretty small, only a couple thousand feet long, and only about 20, 25 feet long or wide on the runways.
Was that one of them down there in Key Largo, right there at the top, or where?
We were at Summerlin Key and at Sugarloaf Shores.
Okay.
Two little airports, and we went swooping in there with supplies that we brought out of Homestead and Ocala and Lakeland, and just run after run after run, bringing stuff in, putting it in hangars down there, and within a day or so, the locals heard that we were there and started coming out and getting supplies, which was great to see. Very rewarding.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was interesting to be there. The Keys are a mess.
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be a long time before that place is looking like it used to.
Well, a lot of my dive industry friends are obviously down there in the Florida Keys. And the reports I'm getting is like from Isla Mirada North. It, you know, they're bouncing back fairly quick, and it's still going to take them some time. They don't have power in a lot of places still. But, man, once you cross 7 Mile Bridge down in the Keys, God help you. I mean, it is a mess. Is that what you saw from the air when you're flying into, or what?
It is. You know, we flew down all along the highway, past 7 Mile Bridge, all that sort of thing. And, man, the devastation is just terrible with, you know, there was some couple of, I guess at one point they were mobile home parks, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We don't know at this point. You can't tell.
They're just a mangled mess of junk at this point. Mm. And a lot of the houses, you know, some of the roofs are gone. The vegetation is stripped bare. Everything that was once green is now brown. At Summerlin Key, they had 4 feet of water across the runway and up into the houses. Many of them are built, you know, up on stilts and then the main level, you know, up off the ground. So not a lot of damage there, but some of them, particularly the older places, were not built to the current standards. You know, they lost roofs and just significant damage. And they were without power and water until Thursday of this week before the power and water came back on.
Yeah, well, like I said, for a lot of folks south of 7 Mile Bridge, I mean, it's going to take some time for them to get back on track. But as far as setting this up in the first place, that's pretty cool. I didn't know you were doing this even before, you know, the you know, the Red Cross and everybody could get their folks in there. Did someone just fly in and find those airports, or did you get a call from the ground from Summerlin Key and said, hey, we're here at the FBO, and if anybody can help, that kind of thing? How did this, you know, whole effort kind of materialize?
Well, it was some of both. There were a number of relief operations. Arrow Bridge is one. Operation Airdrop is another. And there are many others that were, you know, the people kind of are prepared to help organize general aviation flights and move supplies into disaster areas. And so they were prepared. They were just kind of waiting to see where the storm went and where the greatest need was going to be. But meanwhile, there was no communication, particularly out of the Keys. They had no power, no cell service, no internet. And so few people had sat phones, and so calls started to come out that people needed supplies, that mm-hmm. you know they were devastated, and that the relief agencies were not there yet. The roads were blocked. They were the military had blocked all access, was only allowing in like power trucks, power companies cutting trees and that sort of thing, because there was no sanitation, so they didn't want a lot of people, you know, coming back into the Keys, which I understand. But meanwhile, you have people who rode out the storm there with no food, no water.
Right.
So that's who we were serving right away. Mm-hmm. And so when we couldn't get into the civilian airports, we said, fine, they can't keep us out of the private airports. So we went in there anyhow without permission. And it was a little rough there for a while. We had some people telling us we shouldn't even be there. But, you know, we kind of said, screw you, and went anyhow.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I would imagine that could be a little confusing. I mean, you have no power, you have no contact with the tower, but you're flying in private, so you're just using visual flight rules and flying down there and do what you got to do, or what?
Right, yeah. I mean, Miami Center was back up, and Miami Approach was back up and running on a limited basis. Several of their radar sites were down, so if you were below, you know, about 4,000 feet, the radar coverage was pretty sketchy, but they were providing air traffic services best they could. But at low altitude, you're just on your own. And so if anybody with ADS-B outs, you know, you could track some of them. But otherwise, it's just, you know, kind of VFR, eyes peeled, looking for other traffic. And there was a surprising amount of traffic down in the Keys as people were, again, coming back into Summerlin Key, the owners there, because that's a fly-in community. Mm-hmm. People were trying to get back in to inspect their houses, and as well as the relief airplanes.
Yeah. Well, you said there was water on the runway, so you obviously had to wait for that to clear off. I mean, how long did that take, or what did you hear?
Well, by the time we got there, which was on about Wednesday, the water was gone and things had dried out pretty surprisingly well. Of course, things drained down there fairly well because of the sandy ground, but it was all cleared up. There was a lot of debris around. They'd cleaned off the runways. The locals had cleaned off the runways to get the airplanes in there, but there was still a lot of debris around on the sides of the runways, that sort of thing. It's going to be a long time before that place is back to normal.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that was, I don't know, you felt like you were doing something. I didn't know that was going on. I didn't hear any news coverage about GA going out and doing this kind of stuff, and it should be all over the news. And you know,
we're trying to make that happen.
Yeah, we got to toot our own horn. That's unfortunate in that regard. But regardless about, you know, getting the accolades for doing it, I would imagine it felt pretty damn good as a
it
pilot.
It really did.
To help
you know,
out.
I had a sheriff's deputy come up to me at Summerlin Key, and started to tell me, as I was actually doing a video interview with him, to hear his story about how it was going down there, because he was kind of helping facilitate moving the supplies and getting the locals out there to the airport to pick up the supplies. And he was telling me about the situation. He lost the house off his roof. His mother lost the roof off of her house. Mm-hmm. And his brother lost his entire house and his fishing boat. He's a commercial fisherman, so he lost his livelihood. And at that point, the guy starts to cry. I mean, it was just incredibly emotional to see these people's lives, you know, really uprooted. And yet he's out there in uniform trying to kind of protect people and let them know where the supplies are. So he's still hard at work.
Well, I can only imagine that's one of a thousand stories like that. A lot of unfortunate situations were experienced by many. But as far as like when you got down there and they saw what you were doing, did you feel a lot of love from the community in that regard? Or did you get to interact with a lot of locals, or are they focused on just surviving at this point?
Yeah, no, we were there pretty early on, and really before most of them discovered that we were there. We were doing our best to get the word out, but it took several days. And so by the time that most of the locals came in to start gathering up the stuff that we'd been putting in stockpiling there, we missed interacting with all but a few of them, but the ones that we saw were very grateful, and we saw the things I saw later on social media from people was very rewarding. And it's just a great use of a general aviation airplane. It shows the benefit not only of GA airplanes, but also of GA airports.
Yeah.
And their ability to serve small rural communities in ways that nothing else could. No trucks could get in for days after this. And we were delivering supplies way ahead of the relief agencies. So it's really good public benefit flying. It was neat.
Well, yeah. How much of an armada did you have going down there, you figured? Did you do any informal count of all the planes organizing there in Homestead or what?
Well, there was a steady run of airplanes coming and going from Homestead. We had 5 airplanes of our own down there, but there were lots more than that of people just on their own deciding they wanted to come down and help and plugging into Aerobridge or Operation Airdrop. And I really recommend to people who want to do that, you do need to plug into one of these organizations because you need some sort of coordination.
Well, general aviation does good. I can't think of a better way to kick off Just Plane Radio today. Good work, Tom. We got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes, who did some very good work for our friends down in the Keys, flying his plane down there and delivering supplies after Hurricane Irma. So hats off to you, Tom. And that is just a great example of what general aviation can do for the world, for that matter, that people just don't, they don't give us credit for. Take note, Santa Monica. Right.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I mean, I was just a very tiny part of it. There was lots and lots of pilots from all over the place who were down there and flying on their own. Nobody's getting reimbursed for fuel or anything like that. So it's real humanitarian work. So everybody was doing a great job.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Indeed. Now today, however, you're focused on other things. You're in Wichita doing what exactly? What are you doing over there?
Well, I'm at the kickoff for the American Bonanza Society's 50th anniversary convention. American Bonanza Society, of course, the Bonanza is a Beechcraft, iconic airplanes. The Bonanza has been in production since 1947. It's probably the longest production run of any airplane in history, still being produced today. And they're the organization that is for owners like me of Bonanza's Beechcraft and Barron's and that sort of thing is 50 years old this year. So they have an annual convention. This year they're having it in Wichita, which is where their headquarters is. And it's also, of course, where the Beechcraft, the Bonanzas and Barron's are built. And so a lot of activities here in Wichita over the next couple of days, factory tours and seminars and all that kind of stuff. So
get a free T-shirt, that kind of thing.
Hey, absolutely. I'm wearing it, as a matter of fact. How did you know?
I just figured. I can see things through the radio. Yeah. No, that's cool. So, but this sounds like it's more of a personal thing for you because you're a Bonanza guy, right?
Yeah, but lots to learn. They bring in some really, really smart people about Bonanzas and Barron's and learn about engine management and safety and maintenance and all kinds of things. So I'm going to learn a lot this weekend here out here with the Bonanza crowd.
Yeah. Well, what about that, Dennis? Is there a Mooney thing event that you're planning on going to? Do they do that for the Moonies that you just got to?
I would be going to the MAPPA safety seminar in Iowa. However, it's the same week that you and I are going to be on a boat in the Caribbean. So it's kind of a tough call.
Yeah, a boat in the Caribbean. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
We're going to dodge these hurricanes and try to get a week of diving in if things go planned. Hopefully you won't be coming out to deliver food and water to us. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But right, so you got that going on this weekend. We got some big AOPA fly-ins coming up too, right?
We're winding those down. We've done two already this year. We were in Norman, Oklahoma just a couple of weeks ago, though, and we had a record-setting crowd, about 7,400 people. That's more than we've ever had at one of our fly-in. It was an incredible day. And we got two more coming up. One in Groton, Connecticut is October 6th and 7th. And then we're going to be down in Tampa, 27th and 28th of October. We thought maybe that wasn't going to happen because of Irma and then Maria right behind it, but it looks like Maria's going to skip by, and turns out Irma didn't do a lot of damage around Tampa, and the airport's in good shape, so we're going to go ahead and have it. So got two coming up in October, and should be a good time.
Well, I'm planning to be there at that one, assuming that Keith and Ed fly me over there to it. So I'm kind of at their mercy. This will be their, what would you call this, relief flight or, I don't know, good works for general aviation. They're going to fly me.
It's a humanitarian flight.
Yes, exactly. That sounds good. I'm kind of a charity case at times. So, but yeah, I hope to get out there and participate. So that one in Tampa will be going on all day Saturday and Sunday, right?
It's actually Friday and Saturday.
Oh, Friday.
The 27th. Yeah, we got all-day workshops on the 27th. And then Saturday, we got a pancake breakfast and lunch, seminars, free seminars throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Lots going on. So, yeah, I'll definitely look forward to seeing you there.
All right. Yeah, we'll probably come over there for the pancake breakfast, maybe even do our show or something. I know that's what the guys were talking about. So we hope to see you at that one. So, yeah, you got a pretty full plate right now. What else is on the agenda right now? Are you just kind of focused on that stuff? Or are you planning any other big trips while you're there in Wichita this weekend on your private plane other than doing, humanitarian relief flights and things?
Well, we got the National Business Aviation Association convention is in Las Vegas. That's the 10th through the 12th. So right after I finish up at Groton, mm-hmm. I jump on an airliner and head to Las Vegas because I got to be out there on Sunday. On the 8th. So lots going on out there. That's the big jet show, which I think you've been to because it's in Orlando every other year, and then it's in Las Vegas in the alternate years.
Yeah, well, I don't get out to the Vegas one because the Orlando one's right here in our backyard. Now, I'm not planning to go out there for that one this year, but every time it happens in Vegas, right after the show, I hear it's like all the celebrities were there. Like, Harrison Ford, Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, and all these guys that I want to say hi to that obviously have set up restraining orders against me and that kind of thing. But I'm just wondering, is that the truth? Do they usually gravitate more towards Vegas as opposed to the Orlando version, or what do you think?
Yeah, you're more likely to see people like that in Vegas than you are in Orlando, that's for sure. Usually somebody from the aviation world is going to show up in an event like that, and sometimes they're there on behalf of one of the business jet manufacturers doing some promotional work and that kind of thing. So I'll be on the lookout for you on your behalf.
Yeah, have you heard anything from Harrison lately? I mean, it's been kind of, you know, down, you know, under the radar. I haven't heard much about him lately.
I haven't talked to Harrison much lately either. I'm going to be out in California soon, so hopefully I can catch up with him and check on him.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, Tom, you know, he hangs with all the big dogs like that, you know, and he has to be kind of politically correct, and you can't dish the dirt as much as I would prefer. But, you know, I was just out in Catalina. I spent some time out there. Have you ever flown out there to the island?
I have, a couple of times. Yeah, that's an interesting approach.
Yeah, that little hump thing they got on the runway there in Catalina is kind of a unique setup. Now, I didn't fly in. We took a boat over and hung over there for a week. So that's on my list to go back and do some of that. I went over there and did some cold water diving. So I've been kind of doing I'm getting my summer diving fix done, and then my plan is to get back in the cockpit here at the end of summer. That is what we've been saying, right, Dennis?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you'd better. You better bring your books with on the boat. I'm going to be quizzing you.
I'm going to bring, there's already books on the boat. Why would I want to bring extra books to the boat? What are you talking about? No, yeah, you have a Mooney, so we're just going to talk shop while we're in between our dive on our surface interval.
Well,
yeah.
We got to get that test done. You managed to put that off another year.
What test? The written test thing?
Written test.
Oh, that's going to be, you know, I already did it once. How hard can it be the second time around? Be easy. I'm hoping.
Not even sure how to answer that.
We'll see. I mean, what about you, Dennis? Are you doing any flying with your Mooney?
I have been finally getting her back up in the air. Went out with Austin on Sunday. He had a class he had to get to at the university, and so rather than drive the hour to the college, we took the airplane right to the flight school. And so he went from the Mooney into a Warrior, did his lesson, and got back in the Mooney and flew home.
Okay, he's just making me look bad. I hate that kid. All right, we'll talk more with Dennis next, but I got to send Tom on his way to go do more humanitarian flights or just have fun flying.
Yeah, I think we're having fun this week, yeah.
There you go. Check him out at aopalive.org. We've got more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, and we are now joined by Captain Ed because it's Girls in Aviation Day. Is that why you're here?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Actually, that's why I was late.
And wearing a skirt. No, he's not.
No, I had to help Maggie get. Maggie is actually attending for us and representing because she's big in the Women Aviation chapter here locally. And
I kid.
So we sent her in an airplane to the event and giving away a couple Discovery flights. And
Ed's not wearing a skirt.
No.
But his blouse does kind of accent his cheekbones. What about you, Dennis?
Are you wearing a skirt?
We're on our way up. No skirt.
No skirt.
You don't want to see that.
Yeah. Wait. Let's just forget about talking to any clothes whatsoever because it's starting to paint these mental pictures in my mind that I'm not going to be able to unsee. You know what I mean? You're doing a big event today up there in Minnesota as well, right?
Correct. It's actually, I think, nationwide, if not worldwide, the area various chapters for the Women in Aviation have put on this Girls in Aviation to encourage young adults to come out and, you know, everything from, you know, grade school to, you know, early college to see what possibilities there are in aviation and to be able to get up close and personal with military aircraft, with commercial aircraft, general aviation, helicopters, other jobs within the industry, things like that, just to expose them to it. It's just amazing.
Yeah, turn them on to flying.
And that's the other thing that a lot of people don't realize. There are a lot of men that are involved in the Women in Aviation program, too.
Well, they have to be.
Why?
Well, because there's so many in it, we're trying to bring more women into the activity.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And, so, that's why a lot of men participate.
Most men would want more women in the activity, I think.
I agree.
For reasons that are good and reasons that are probably not as good. But it doesn't really matter. This is a good event.
Once again, Greg manages to tarnish something good.
Now, I'm not tarnishing anything. I'm doing my part by staying as far away as possible. It's all good. It's a good thing, and I'm glad that Dennis is representing up there in Minnesota, and we have our contingency here in Orlando. All right, well, look, we got more to cover, including the latest aviation news and information, next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So, you gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
And I'm flying so high, high off the ground. When you're around.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. All right, so Ed just hopped on board. And I got to catch up with him a little bit and find out how flight training professionals, you know, weathered the hurricane, the Irma, that we had to deal with. Yeah, how did you guys do?
We did fine. I mean, yeah. We hangared the airplanes as we told you we would.
And right.
The hangar held fine, and, you know, the building got water damage as suspected.
It did?
Yeah.
What, so, like leaks in the roof or something?
Yeah, some roof leaks, but mostly just water coming in through the concrete block. Because that, we get that in normal rainstorms, too.
Oh, okay.
Because the ramp is higher than the building, and so it flows downstream into the building, and so they had to come in and clean the carpets and all that stuff and make it smell better.
All right, we don't really care about the building, though. Yeah. We care about the airplanes.
Airplanes are fine.
No, nobody had, wood flying through the air and smashing an airplane?
No, all the airplanes were either gone or in a hangar. And our airplanes, we chose to hangar them because it didn't look like it was going to be that strong.
Yeah. Well, last time I saw, Captain Dennis, he was down there in Pompano Beach with me. Mm. Little did we know his flight back to Minnesota from Pompano Beach was going to be, the first evacuation flight for Hurricane Irma?
I think everybody followed me out, didn't they?
That's very possible.
Yeah, I tell you what, they definitely, if they followed you all the way home, they would have been well clear of the weather.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have no problems with hurricanes up here in Minnesota. Never had one hit.
Yeah. Mm. How's winter?
I go to Florida.
No.
You go to Florida because there are no hurricanes in Florida in the winter.
Yeah, bingo. For the most part, yeah. 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 It was interesting when people started to evacuate. They didn't know where to go.
No,
and because this storm took
a
little
west, then they went. Oh, yeah. Nope, it's there.
Like, I'm gonna go to Tampa. Nope, I'm gonna go to Georgia. Nope. it was like, you had to go way west.
Well, but here's the thing. The media was not very responsible in their coverage.
What? What are you kidding me? The media not responsible?
I mean, they scared people out of Orlando, and I'm sorry, we're not on the coastline. There's no reason for Orlando to evac.
A week before Hurricane Irma was even supposed to get close to Florida, you could not get into the Home Depot parking lot.
Yeah.
It was insanity.
I've got some new guys at work, and they're all asking me, will you go board up your windows? No, I live in Orlando.
Yeah.
I
did.
You did?
We have to protect the Just Plane Radio studio complex.
I can understand that. There's a lot of equipment in here.
I just boarded up a few windows. Yeah. I created a couple safe spaces.
Yeah.
But not many. And it wasn't needed. We didn't end up...
You do have a lot of windows on this, too.
Yeah. We have a big...
Isn't it Ron White's quote that it's not what or how the wind's blowing, it's what the wind's blowing?
True. Exactly. That is so true. And that's what we were a little concerned with. But it ended up being much to do about nothing. We had a bunch of tree limbs down like everyone else in Orlando. But we didn't have really too much as far as big trees. Now, you had some stuff at your residence.
Yeah.
We didn't have any trees,
but it was just tops of trees, big limbs.
Right.
And we got some damage to the pool screen and some damage. Actually, some water coming in through the roof. We had some damage to the roof. I just... spent a little time with the claims adjuster here.
Yeah,
late in the week.
Did you slip him a 20 and say, "Hey, come on, juice it for me"?
That didn't work. No,
and when he was too hardcore on you.
No,
jeez, come on.
Nope, they were, and like I said, we still haven't heard yet, so who knows?
Well, there you go. Feel free to use that little technique, though.
Oh, yeah.
It could help. You know, throw that in like a...
That's how you got your trash clean, or your branches picked up so quickly?
That's true. You bribed the garbage man.
You bribed him?
Maybe I did. So, anyway.
Most of us find that hard to believe, Greg.
It's like, hey, can you pick this stuff up now? How about
that would involve Greg using money, wouldn't it?
That's why I'm saying most of us would find this hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know the truth to the story.
No, well, all I did is like, he goes, well, I'd have to talk to my supervisor. I said, well, would you like to talk to Mr. Benjamin? Mm-hmm. And then I said, hey, neighbor, can you get Mr. Benjamin out of your pocket? Anyway, yeah, you could try that. Probably wouldn't work.
Yeah,
but as far as the airport, it went fine.
Yeah, one hangar lost part of a roof. There was an airplane in there that got a little bit of damage.
Yeah, but no major
but
stuff.
No major stuff. I mean, executive. Power outage was actually the biggest problem that they didn't have. They had partial power restored on Monday already, but they didn't have full power restored until Wednesday. So there was no air conditioners working. They didn't have ramp lights at night. They didn't. They were running the taxiway lights, and this is what power company understand that they were running the taxiway lights at night from a generator that the airport has, and we're talking major league generator. It took the airport authority to say, "Hey, you haven't fully restored power to the airport, and we're running our lights at night off the generator. If we run out of fuel, the airport will have to shut down at night, and there are relief flights coming through there." And that's 2 hours later, the power was on.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's good.
Because our landlord, Atlantic, was calling every hour and getting nowhere for 2 days.
Yeah, saying, we've got to have power
here. Then, you know, an email sent by the airport authority. 2 hours later, we got power.
But wait a minute. How could they be? They would have plenty of fuel, though, wouldn't they, to run the generator? Because they got to store all that avgas stuff.
No, not that. No. They don't burn the avgas. It's a diesel generator. And,
oh, they,
well,
so
I mean, they
got
could
Jet
use,
A.
Yeah. Well, it's the airport authority has no fuel. That's the FBOs, and the FBOs are going to sell to them at very high cost.
Hey.
Because basically they were rationing.
They got to turn a profit, too.
They were rationing the fuel because they were afraid of they weren't being able to get more. They were only fueling for like 2 days, only base tenants and relief aircraft, no transients. So
the airport never did fly, it closed down during the storm.
Yeah, closed down during the storm. Closed down Saturday night around 5 p.m. and then reopened at 6 p.m. on
with
Monday.
With partial generator power.
Well, with partial power and then with generator power running the facilities,
lights.
The runway lights. The localizer was down till about Wednesday or Thursday. And that's true. There's still some airports that don't have instrument approaches back yet.
Yeah.
Then the Titus Boulevard on the coast, I think, might just be getting it back up today.
Well, would we have
when those approaches go down during a storm like that, do they have to come out and flight check all that stuff again in order before they can bring them back online?
No. No, they just it's just an issue of power. You know, if they're running on backup power or their generators, they're not gonna keep the ILS up because power's not gonna be consistent enough for
well
them.
With partial power though, so they had someone back up there in the tower directing flights
and
everything.
Yeah, tower reopened 6 p.m. on Monday.
It did, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's some dedicated tower folks, I would imagine. Because they probably had no AC in that tower, too. You think?
They have a generator that probably took care of that.
You think?
Yeah.
Or you don't know?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Those windows
you'd probably be able to tell.
Those windows don't open.
I know. That's why I'm saying. You'd probably be able to tell just from the ATC announcements. Charlie Mike, you're clear to land on runway 7. Hurry up! You know, they have a short fuse. You know what I mean?
Tower flybys are approved for air conditioning.
Exactly.
Yeah, they get the helicopter hover over it.
Who wants priority? Whoever has an AC unit and a battery pack.
In some cases, that's normal operations, the executive getting a clearance like that.
Oh, it isn't? Okay.
Depends on the controller.
Depends on the controller. Understood. Yeah, how you schmooze them. Those Benjamins. Hey, I got a Benjamin if you can put me first for landing.
Yeah, that won't work.
That doesn't work. Yeah, okay. Well, it's worth a try. All right, but it's good that none of the planes were hurt. Everything's good. Everything back fully operational at Orlando Executive for the most part, you would say?
For the most part, yeah. That they're still they got people coming around for insurance and looking at roofs and stuff like that.
But as far, what about those relief flights? You know, Tom was telling us earlier that it was pretty hectic there at first because they beat, you know, the first responders in.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot going on like that. There were some people that were running relief flights out of Executive down to the Keys.
Yeah, he said they were at a staging area in Homestead or something, and then they ran some. Do you know some folks that were doing that? I know you had told me that.
Yeah, I had to try to get a customer to loan us his airplane, but with Keith stuck up in Biloxi, Keith had to go up to Tallahassee just before the storm, so he took the motor home.
He took his home.
And then when it turned towards Tallahassee, he went to Biloxi. So he got back about Thursday after the storm.
Yeah.
You know, that, and so it was, he said the roads were atrocious.
Oh, I'm sure.
Even coming back, it took him like 12 hours to get from Biloxi to Tallahassee.
But is he glad he left?
He had to, just because he had to be up in Tallahassee.
Yeah, his home has wheels. So yeah,
I told him next time his home goes in the hangar with the airplanes.
That would be a good plan, probably, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that way he doesn't take 5 days to get back here and help.
Yeah, he can work while you go to Biloxi for vacation.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly it on the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative. And it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Gonna take it for a ride on a pitch of fire.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. Oh, Captain Ed and Dennis rounding out the crew. All right, so Hurricane Irma obviously distracted us quite a bit the last week or two. You know, we're based in Orlando, Florida. If you're not in Florida and didn't have to deal with that personally, well, you are one lucky SOB.
Yep. 'Cause
it's a pain in the butt, trust me. But we got through it. We're okay.
Yep.
And, you know, basically what happened to me personally is... you know, we went through the storm, and after 2 days of no AC, I said, I'm out of here. And I took a flight out to California and hung out in Catalina and did some diving.
So you cooled off by diving in the Pacific?
Exactly, then? I did. I did some cold water diving. It was actually a good way to prepare myself for the cold water because I was so overheated for not having AC. And
I thought that was the cold shoulder you got when you got home.
No, no. Actually, we got power right before I left. So that prevented... You know,
that would have been bad if you left when the power hadn't gone on
the,
yet.
You know, the locks
you might not have had a home to come
locks,
back to.
The locks have been changed.
Yeah, and, absolutely. But I got out there and had some fun. But it was good, you know, and had good flights back and forth.
Cool.
But the cool thing was, you know, I got on my plane, my American flight from Orlando to LAX, and I sit down, and sure enough, some people come and sit next to me. And they sit down, and I'm in the aisle seat, and the guy next to me starts talking with the girl that's in the window, and they start talking about, winds above and...
Winds
aloft and stuff, and starts using the aviation terms like, hey, you guys are obviously pilots, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm a pilot in training perpetually. And I said, well, what do you guys do? And he goes, oh, well, look at my jacket. And it said, we're going out to the Reno Air Races. I'm like, oh, really? That's very cool. And it seemed like his jacket said, I'm out down in Kissimmee at a flight restoration place.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really? I said, well, we do this radio show. We probably, you know, my buddies that do the show with me, I know, they must know you. And I said, what do you do exactly? Well, I have this plane, Precious Metal. And
Tom Richards.
Yeah. And I was like, really? Oh, you're the dude. Yeah, we've talked to him. You're the dude.
Yeah. So
we start talking. And, of course, I said, I got to take a picture and send it to Ed and Keith. And it didn't take you guys all of like 5 seconds to reply. Oh, my gosh, you're right. Tell him we want to come over. And it was cool. And I said, hey, look, I'm an idiot. I don't know everything what you do, but I know a little bit about it. I know we've talked about your airplane Precious Metal on Just Plain Radio before. He goes, oh, you mean when it caught on fire? That's it. Yes.
So then finally Greg realized who he was sitting next to.
Exactly. You're the guy. You're the dude. Yeah, so it was. We had a good little conversation. They were very friendly folks. But he was going out there, the Reno Air Race.
Yep.
He usually is in it.
Yeah, usually in it.
And this is the first year he was going, like in 10 years, he said, just to go and be a spectator.
Yeah.
So he was going out there to enjoy himself and go watch it. But he said, yeah, you guys want to come down and see the airplanes? Come on down anytime. We'd love to have you.
Well, we need to do that. We need to do a live remote or something.
Yeah. And I said, well, have you heard the show? He goes, no, but any publicity is good publicity. And I said, well, look.
No, he's a man after your own heart.
I said, let me apologize in advance, but yes, we will take you up on your offer. So we got a plan for the future.
Sweet.
Yeah, you know, just a little chance meeting there on the airplane.
Yeah, Reno was last weekend, and Strega won, and Voodoo. We're talking about 2 or 3 weeks ago about Steve Hinton and Voodoo trying to break the piston speed record. He did break it.
He did, huh?
About 2 weeks before Reno, he broke it, and then he did not win at Reno. That Strega, which is the airplane he used to fly, won at Reno.
So how fast were they going? Do you know?
They were doing the one lap, or one of the laps that Strega did was over 500 miles an hour.
And
now I can't remember the number that that Hinton did in Voodoo, but it was in excess of. I think the old record was like 548 miles an hour, so it was in excess of that. I don't know what the final number ended up being.
And that's like for the loop or whatever the course thing is, or is that a straightaway time?
That'd be a straightaway time, but for the record thing, it's just a straight line. They have to be a certain distance and for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Average speed was 531.53, and the fastest of four laps, reaching 554 miles per hour.
Wow! Don't blink, or you're gonna miss it.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
That's one of those places I want to go. I want to go see the Reno Air Race. That is a huge bucket list item.
So they flew into L.A., and then they took a flight from there to Reno.
Probably.
Yeah. So that was that'd be a long trek, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, just think about flying a highly modified race plane there.
How many people show up at that thing? It's not as big as like Air Venture, is it?
No. no, not that big.
But, I mean, how many thousands of people show up at the Reno Air Race?
I don't know. I'm sure it's on the web somewhere, Greg.
Yeah, but, I mean, it happened over the entire weekend, or was it just Saturday?
Yeah, no, it's a multiple-day event. It's a whole week of racing.
A whole week,
because there are various qualifying heats, and then you have, four heats per level. Yeah. There's the gold level, which is one that the World War II airplanes are flying in. There's also a jet heats that, so they'll have like the L-39s out there racing.
And well, would a Tom T-6 be flying program. The precious metal? Would he be flying it in that? Or he
that's where it? He would normally fly.
He would fly it.
He would normally fly it, but it's obviously not done yet.
Yeah.
But they are rebuilding it from all the things I heard.
Yeah, well, he said they have a few projects. But
he just finished the Corsair for the Commemorative Air Force's Dixie Wing.
Yeah.
I saw posts on that and updates on it, and he just dropped it off in Atlanta.
So you want to go take a look?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'll
can
put
we
it
go, can we go now?
I said,
let's
I know this guy,
let's
Ed.
Can
I he's kind of a
let's
pain
go.
In
let's
his
go.
Butt.
But Dennis has to come down for it, too.
Yeah.
I'll vouch for you both. So your chances are pretty much slim to none.
Yeah.
Slim to none.
All right, and on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.